Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
I can't believe we're getting the real Terminator 3 in Terminator 3 Dark Fate. But did you know that a few weeks back we covered the real Terminator 3?
I remember covering the real Terminator 3.
Rise of the Machines. And then we covered the real Terminator 3, Terminator 2 3D, Battle Across Time.
Well, thank God we've covered all
but
the real Terminator 3.
This week,
what?
We're covering the real Terminator 3, Terminator the Sarah Connor Chronicles, the TV series.
The hardest to pronounce Terminator franchise expansion.
But in my opinion, the best Terminator 3 that there has been.
I think you might be right.
Yeah.
More time to breathe.
And it's just generally better. I went back and I watched every episode of this show. I wasn't really planning on.
Yeah,
and I knew it ended on a cliffhanger, but I got sucked right into this 10-year-old show. And at the end when it ended, I went, God damn it.
Well, I was like, okay, what I'm going to do is I'm going to watch episode one and then jump to the final one just to see how it evolved and to see if
it
made any sense.
Out.
Yeah, exactly. Well, no. And then, but I was compelled. I'm like, I'll watch like the first three or four.
Yeah.
So, and then I jumped to the end.
And I think for our efforts, that should definitely get a like on this video, no doubt.
I think so too.
But yeah, there's some stuff in this show that I think it is limited by budget, but a lot of things really, really work well. For one, some of the special effects and the new elements of the lore look really great. For example, the first Terminator who shows up to kill John Connor.
In the dream sequence? Or in real
life?
Well,
there's that one.
Yes. He's like a, this show opens up with a very, very specific dream sequence. Like
yes.
it's a very literal dream sequence
yeah.
in which Sarah Connor fears that John Connor will be killed by a Terminator at school.
Yes.
And that show, then he does show up and kills him. And then the nuclear apocalypse happens immediately afterwards at school.
There's quite a few.
That's a half day, if you ask me.
Definitely. There's quite a few dream sequences of John Connor being killed. There's at least two in this series. But yeah, I love that. So one of the key villains of this is Cromartie, and he turns up at John Connor's school and you see him kind of cut open his leg and he pulls a gun out and you see like the mechanical components like sliding away inside of him.
Is that a Sly RoboCop reference? I wonder.
Maybe
it
is, yeah. Well, they are connected in some universes, aren't they? RoboCop v Terminator, the good one and then the not good one, the comic.
Absolutely.
You've seen them. I love though how the Terminator stops to turn around and go, class dismissed. There's moments like that where I think they're so efficient and so like bare minimum in terms of things they have to do. They even talk about that in the making of where things like the Cameron character won't even brush the hair out of her face because they're so like, I'm going to do the bare essential things to kind of function.
Yeah. And I think maybe the pilot, they were still testing a few things
100%,
out.
Yeah. But there is some excellent practical stuff. I mean, even when they eventually kill Cromartie, I don't know if you saw this episode where they blow the side of his face off and you see the mechanics inside there.
Mm-hmm.
And it actually looks like movie quality, terrific. I'll talk about some like not as good special effects later.
Uh-huh.
Whenever they show like a fully CGI Terminator, it's never great.
No.
But again, it is TV budget.
Yeah.
10, 11 years ago when this actually came out. How did you feel about the new elements this introduced to the franchise?
I don't know what you're talking about specifically, but some of the stuff that I liked.
Mm.
I enjoyed the fact that it started in 1999, so like a couple of years after the events of Terminator 2.
Yes.
But before the events of the real Terminator 3, Terminator 3.
Yes.
No longer canon in this universe.
I don't know which one you're referring to. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, but at the end of the pilot to this, they time travel forwards.
Yeah.
I enjoyed that there were some mysterious elements in the future. Like there seemed to be different factions in the future.
Yes.
That are building towards stopping the apocalypse or restarting the apocalypse. And one team has sent back a time displacement core to send them forward into the future.
Yes.
I thought that was very cool. I enjoyed the fact that their first nemesis, Cromarty, at one point gets absolutely wrecked.
De-skinned,
de-headed, loses his head.
Yeah.
And then over the span of several years, it seems, puts himself back together. Like he reattaches his own head.
Yeah.
And then he goes to a scientist and gets like a, forces him to build a synthetic skin formula. And then he gets turned into like this skin golem,
yeah,
like covered in gross human flesh. And then he goes to a plastic surgeon and gets himself a beautiful human face again.
And a sweet head of hair somehow.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, I think those elements of self-repair are really great because we kind of get hints of that in the other movies.
Mm.
Like they kind of, when they've been injured, they'll cover it up with like a glove, like in Terminator 2, or sunglasses when he has the eye injury in part one.
Yeah, but I think a lot of, especially like the more recent Terminator movies, infiltration of these dedicated infiltration units lasts about 4 seconds.
Yes.
And then they start shooting lasers out of their hands and you're like, maybe go into deep cover for a little bit longer. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Well, that's an element.
Like they're supposed to stick around for years.
Well, that's an element though that I think is interesting because there are some Terminators that show up in this who are doing that.
Yep.
There's one that gets married and is just living a suburban life.
Yeah.
And it's interesting to me that they can learn enough and get by enough to trick a person into thinking they're a real person. I mean, you would never suspect that it wasn't a real person, but it's also what kind of lunatic would hang around with a person like this.
Yeah, right.
But I guess also there are people who, you know, who are looking for love and will take a very compliant robot husband or, whatever, you know, yeah. I think the time travel stuff of going forward, which I should point out they did borrow from T2 3D, the ride.
Oh, the real Terminator 3.
That's right, exactly. Mm, yeah. That's really an effort to be like, well, let's not set this in 99 because then we've got to do all the cars and the technology.
We've got to
make it 2007.
We've got to change everybody's hair constantly.
Yeah, exactly.
What I did like is going from season one, a few episodes into season one to the final episode of season two, is that John Connor's hair evolves from like floppy down 1999.
Yeah.
It's kind of Caesar cut to super gelled.
Oh my God.
2007 hair, yeah.
It's some Nick Lachey shit happening there.
Oh my God, you're absolutely right.
I really also enjoy the Cameron character in this. I think they kind of humanify her after the first episode because she quite convincingly tricks John Connor and she seems much more normal in the pilot episode. And then later on, there's a lot of like, she gets weirder and more out of place and unsettling as the kind of show goes on. And I think, again, it's like a pilot thing where it's like, well, we're trying out this particular aspect of it. Yeah. I do really like the element of this, of Sarah Connor's got this ticking bomb, not only in the judgment day that's going to arrive in 2011 because it's been pushed back, but she knows in the future she's going to get a form of cancer.
Yeah.
And it's kind of this running thing throughout the show, which is never really solved.
Uh-huh.
And we don't know where it's coming from. So we don't know what kind of cancer is.
Yeah.
She works in a nuclear power plant at one point. So she thinks it might be that. She thinks it might be.
She ate those plutonium isotopes.
Yeah, that could have been it.
Could have been it. But also, like, isn't there
exposure to Terminators even themselves? Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah.
Lena Headey, I think, aside from Linda Hamilton, is the best representation of that character. I mean, there's only been a few, but
would you say of the two Game of Thrones actors who portrayed Sarah Connor, she is the best one?
100%.
All right, then.
I have no problem with Emilia Clarke, but Lena Headey feels...
That's a bold statement to take.
Yeah,
I have no problem with
that incredibly
unbelievably lovable actor, Emilia Clarke.
Look, I think that movie Genesis is miscast in a lot of ways. For one, I like the Kyle Reese from the original Terminator because he's muscular, but he's thin because he looks like he's just been living in the sewers eating rats.
Mm-hmm.
And Jai Courtney is this big buff man.
Yeah.
The version of Kyle Reese that turns up in this, because they've all been recast, feels more like that version than the one that we got in Genesis. I think they get a lot of that right. And speaking of Kyle Reese, we of course get Derek Reese,
his brother, played by Brian Austin Green, who's from 90210.
That's right, yeah. And I think he's quite a good addition to this as well.
Well,
and
I couldn't tell you because I only saw 2 minutes of him at the end.
What I also like is they don't really play with the idea that him and Sarah are going to get together. Like, it's not really a thing. Maybe that's something they would have developed as the kind of story goes on.
Uh-huh.
But it's just kind of like,
we don't have time.
Yeah, we're just trying to stop a bloody war, right?
I did also feel like what was good about this is that it felt like the time war was evolving.
Yes.
You know, again, that we're in this situation where we're in the apocalypse when we destroyed Cyberdyne, but that didn't happen. So we're at a loose end now. What are we kind of doing?
What are we even looking for specifically?
Yeah, right.
In the age of the internet and the cloud, is a fast approaching.
Mm.
Is Skynet in your phone? Is it a man who's got a computer plugged into the back of his head? It can be many, many things.
But it is that one, I think. In this instance,
maybe? Yeah. It's never really resolved
so
properly.
So initially in this one, it's a chess computer called the Turk.
Well, they think it might be.
Yeah, uh-huh.
And then it's like there's multiple like AI that kind of show up over this series. And it's also
then
like,
it's a Roomba with a gun.
That's right. But it's also like, could it even be a Terminator that plugs itself into the system? Like, they just don't even know where it's exactly coming from. And speaking of that time war, it's interesting that Derek Reese and his girlfriend from the future, Jessie, they're from different futures. They've traveled back from different alternate realities.
Oh, interesting.
Because one of them, one version of Derek Reese, the one that she remembers, was tortured by this guy who was a grey, which is essentially a human who works for Skynet.
I see.
And that episode is terrific where they're interrogating this guy who she's like, I'm 100% sure this guy's from the future. And he's basically like a Nazi scientist for Skynet. Uh-huh. And he's here in the modern day and trying to figure out who he is. But he has no memory of this guy because he's just not from that time period.
Yeah, right.
I find that stuff really interesting. And also the fact that there's various factions from both sides who are just doing different jobs. It's not all John Connor, Sarah Connor. It's It's like, well, we got to blow up this mainframe or we got to infiltrate this thing or whatever.
Well, you can't bloody build a whole bloody revolution on one emo kid and his mom, can you?
No, you certainly can't, yeah. We, of course, also get Kyle Reese as a little boy. Like, there's a few moments in this that I like that he gets, he gets to meet his dad or see his dad as a little kid, which I quite like. But what I really want to ask you about is, you're the world's harshest critic, I feel, of the T-1000 effect.
Yeah, it's really bad. based on solely on what I saw, Shirley Manson as what I believe is the T-1001.
Yes.
That's a slightly more advanced version of the one we saw in T2.
Yeah.
Oh boy.
Well, I think because you saw the bit where it turns into like a shield, right?
Yeah, she turns into like a, in order to deflect a large explosion from a drone, she turns into kind of like a silver manta ray kind of situation. Or like a, she puts her arms out, she looks like maybe a Virgin Mary statue.
Yeah, right.
But silver, and it does not look great.
There's definitely some moments here that improve on that. I would say that is the worst kind of effect for that character. But there's some other stuff that doesn't look quite as bad,
okay,
I would
good.
Say, yeah. Uh-huh. Just so you know.
All right.
Yeah. Okay, here's some things that I don't like about this. Speaking of...
Have I seen most of this?
No.
Or none of it? Okay, cool.
There is an episode...
Well, then I'll judge it having not seen it. Here we go.
There's an episode in season two where Sarah Connor has a dream sequence and some CGI cactuses grow out of the ground and then they hug somebody and it looks quite terrible.
Okay.
It's a dream sequence.
It sounds like a novelty she bought in like a dollar store. Is there a point where she gets attacked by the Big Mouth Billy Bass? Does that happen? Is that also another dream?
There's also, even towards the end of season two, Terminators are coming at them and they're just using handguns on it.
Mm.
Like there's a moment in the pilot where they have like a future gun that they've constructed. That
yeah, and then
the
it disappears almost immediately.
Yeah, I feel like that's something you'd probably want to source again.
Yeah.
Or find a weapon that's...
Put it in a different place.
Or the modern day equivalent of that.
Yeah, right.
But if you're using a handgun against a Terminator, if anything, you're risking that the bullet's going to ricochet and hit somebody else.
Yeah.
Including
you. I mean, if you can't find a bazooka, find that regular gun they used in Terminator Genesis that could kill young Arnold Schwarzenegger with one bullet.
Exactly. And the other thing is that it's very disappointing, and this is not the fault of the show, that it ends on a cliffhanger because... It ends with John Connor going to the future and they don't recognize him. And presumably it's because he's been missing for X number of years. So in him traveling to the future, there wasn't a version of him that stayed behind and grew up to then lead the resistance.
That's true.
So I think that could have been an interesting element that I assume they were going to explore at one point.
And at which point he also meets, or he at least sees the woman who Cameron is based on, right?
That's right, exactly. Which there is a whole episode dedicated to. There was actually a fan campaign in relation to the cancellation of this.
Uh-huh.
The writer's strike happened between seasons, which I think hurt this a little bit in terms of its return and getting it back on its feet. And, you know, it was a pretty... costly show. By the time the second season rolled around, it went from like 10.8 million viewers to 5.3, which is
that's a bit of a dip. Yeah,
There was a fan campaign, and creator Josh Friedman dismissed a crowdfunding idea in 2013 because he's like, "Hey, I don't own this. Like, I worked on it, but I don't own the property.
It's the Terminator franchise.
That's right." But Thomas Dekker, who plays John Connor, who might be my favorite John Connor.
Bloody hell!
Yeah. I mean, Edward Furlong's like a kid, obviously.
Yeah.
This is like a slight extension
of that
Nick character.
What about
Nah.
All right then.
Actually, I've said before, my favorite version of John Connor is the one from Terminator 2 in the future, where you see him, he's just got the scar and he says nothing.
Yeah, he says nothing.
That's my favorite version, probably. Uh-huh. But he said, in the end, it came down to this show, or our show, and Dollhouse. And the idea was that this is expensive and Dollhouse is a lot cheaper, so Fox just went Dollhouse. Also, we cancelled Serenity, so we'll just give Joss Whedon another season of Dollhouse.
Uh-huh, sure.
Which I never finished Dollhouse, so I don't know whether that's a good thing or not. I don't know, there are fans of that series, but having not seen it, I would have much preferred.
Is Summer Glau also in Dollhouse?
No, you're thinking of Elijah Dushku.
I am only thinking
but also,
Dushku.
Maybe she is in it.
That's what I'm thinking,
I have no idea.
Uh-huh.
The other thing is, I think because this show ended at the start of 2009 and the upcoming release of Terminator Salvation, which also came out in 2009 in the mid-year, I don't think would have helped this
would
being
have
renewed.
Yeah, the general public.
Exactly. But quite frankly, which is better? Obviously, it's this
one,
series
yeah.
because that is a tough watch, that one. Yeah.
Good use of squibs in this, also, I must say.
Oh, terrific stuff.
Right at the end of the final episode of season two, Cameron cops a lot of bullets. And yeah. It's very impressive, actually. Especially for TV.
Definitely. The practical stuff in this is terrific. Like, the makeup effects are really great. And I like that the newly designed, the T-888, it's a slight variation on the T-800 where it's got modifications where, like, you can see, if you see its skeleton, it's got, like, pistons in its shoulder so it can, like, clean punch through a door or wall much easier.
Yeah, right.
It's got blades in its thigh, so if it gets you in a grip, it can decapitate you.
Yeah, it's got a cup holder.
It's got a cup holder in the top of its head.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so all that stuff I quite like. But Josh Friedman, who again created this, he would later go to work on Terminator Dark Fate 2019 with a co-screen story with James Cameron.
There you go.
But he did reveal in an interview that James Cameron never watched the show, not because he had anything against it, but he was just like, well, I didn't make this, so I don't care.
I'm in a submarine. I got stuff to do.
Exactly, yeah. Now, here's a section of the show that I've decided to start including sometimes. It's called, hey, I can't believe you didn't mention this very specific piece of trivia that people are going to mention in the comments if I don't bring it up. But the only reason
why have you put this segment in, James?
Because I'm sick of people giving me trivia that already know that I decided not to include because I didn't think it was that interesting or it was blindingly obvious.
Okay, so what I think, if we continue to do this segment, this eventually will contain all human knowledge.
That's right.
Like Skynet.
Exactly.
All right, I'm excited.
This is the catalyst.
I'm excited to learn some new facts that I might already know.
I've got two things.
Okay.
Cameron, the Terminator, was named after James Cameron.
Yep.
I know that.
Yep.
But I think it's worth mentioning.
Because people will tell us
otherwise. People will tell us. And two, Shirley Manson is the lead singer of Garbage.
Mm-hmm.
Two things.
We are aware.
Yeah.
If you
have any other facts that are blindingly obvious, we'd love to hear about them as well. Mm-hmm. But I feel like this is a segment that's worth including.
Hey, you might be the one person that gives us a blindingly obvious fact that we don't know.
That's right.
And then we will praise you and shower you with riches.
Correct. Mm. And then you're blocked for showing us up. Yeah. Anyways, this has been Caravan of Garbage. Believe it or not, we do this every week. You want a hint towards what's coming up next week, Mason?
Yes.
Well, here's a clip of it. In the audio version, you haven't seen anything, so you're just going to have to tune in.
No, I haven't seen or heard anything, to be honest. There was just silence there for me. So thanks for nothing.
Just imagine the best case scenario.
Oh, my God.
But I've done something else.
Oh.
Also, there's videos here every Sunday, Tuesday, and Thursday. So if you do want to subscribe for that, and of course, we've got the previous Terminator 3 videos up on this channel, but we are going to do a podcast episode this Monday on Terminator Dark Fate.
The real Terminator 3.
You know it's the real Terminator 3.
Oh my God, I'm so excited.
Yeah, me too, I think.
Yeah, it might be a good one.
Yeah, it might be. I can't imagine it'll be better than this, but I'd love to be surprised.
That new Terminator, though, going to have a lot of cup holders.
You know it. Four in the head alone.
Oh my God. That's why he's got the big divot in there.
That's why the divot's
for. Holding cups.
Yeah. Anyways, I'm at Mr. Sunday Movies on Twitter.
I'm at Wikipedia Brown on Twitter.
What do you think of this show? I'd be curious to know what you think, but also if you got a suggestion for Caravan of Garbage.
Yeah, what's your favorite episode of this show?
Is it the cactus one?
Could be the cactus one, right?
It probably is. All right, guys, thanks for watching.
Grab that gem, you guys. We will see you next week.
Goodbye.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
I mean, if you want. It's up to you.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.